that this day will be a special day for you. Also, while you're turning, amen, we put a YouTube channel together called The School of the Hebrews. Write that down or do whatever you got to do. School of the Hebrews. We need as many people to go on there and subscribe. And all subscribe mean is you click that little red thing and you put your email and that's it. All right? And we want you to subscribe because the more subscribers, the more views we have, that's the more it's going to gain traction and people are going to hear it. Amen. And we get the word out to the people of God. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. You want to get the word out? That's the way you can play a part. Go on the YouTube channel. It's called School of the Hebrews. Somebody say it with me. School of the Hebrews. Amen. Hallelujah. And go ahead and subscribe or view and do what you have to do so we can get this word out. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at it in Acts 3 and 25. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the Bible says here, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turn away every one of you from his iniquities. Father, bless us in your word and keep us and fill us and anoint us, God, and give us what we need, Father God. We pray that you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the preaching, the teaching of your most holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Saints of God, last time we were here, we talked about the children of the prophets, amen, and how people don't really know who the real children of the prophets are. Amen. They don't really know who are the real biblical Hebrews. Amen. Brent, I thought I can do it, but you just go ahead and do it. I can't preach and switch slides at the same time. Amen. Hallelujah. We had 3 points last time, if you remember. We talked about number one, the Jews today. Somebody say the Jews today. And we looked at Revelations 3:9. Amen. And in Revelations 3:9, if you remember, the Bible told us that in these last days, in the church age of Philadelphia, that there would be a group, amen, who say that they are Jews, but are not, but do lie, amen. And we began to discuss, amen, that this group that would worship not in churches, but in synagogues, amen, this group, amen, is the people who are living in Israel today. And we began to talk about how the Jews who are in Israel today are not the real Jews. They are Khazarians. They are Ashkenazis. They are of European descent. They are not Semitic people. And we showed you a map of that and showed you exactly where they came from, giving you geographical information. Amen. Hallelujah. Go back to the previous one. Brent's going to do it for this one. Giving you the geographical evidence and information for this. And a lot of times people are going to come at you and say, no, this is not true, but they ain't bringing nothing to the table but an opinion. Amen. And so before they tell you it's not true, amen, let them bring some evidence. Listen, I've been practicing law for a long time, amen, over 10 years. And listen, the way you win a case is you don't come and just state your opinion. You better give some facts and some evidence, amen. And so what we did, we gave you geographic evidence showing you where these people come from. They come from Khazaria, amen. We not only gave you that, glory to God, we gave you DNA evidence, scientific proof, amen, of them being of European descent. We also showed you a letter from one of their kings, King Joseph, who described that they were not from Shem, which where Abraham was from, Noah's three sons. I'm going to show you a clip of that as well, that they were from Japheth. And it was a letter from one of their own kings admitting that the Jews today are not, amen, the biblical Hebrews. We gave you the scientific proof, like I said, and we can flip another slide. We showed you the DNA evidence from Dr. Aurelio Oppenheim, the biologist from Hebrew University, saying that 95% of the Jews around the world are of Khazarian blood. We tapped into the Jewish literature, looking at the Jewish encyclopedias from 1905, 1973, showing you that out of their own literature, they don't ever claim to be Semitic people or people from the biblical Hebrew lineage, but that they are from the Ashkenazis. That was the first point. Now, a lot of people know this, Ms. Jen. A lot of people, especially in the upper echelons of power, of government, amen, they know that the current Jews are not the Jews of the Bible. But what they're not asking, Davion, is who are? Who are the real biblical Jews? Who are the Hebrews of the Bible? And that's why people fall short. That's why they stop at. And they usually stop that, Kendrick, because they don't want to know the truth. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? And so secondly, we talked about the children of the prophets. We had a sub-point A. We had to go back to the Bible to figure out who the true Hebrews were. We saw, A, that the Hebrews were often mistaken as Egyptians. Somebody say Egyptians. We looked at the situation with Joseph. We looked at Moses. We looked at Paul and how all of them were never mistaken as being European, never mistaken as being Greek, never mistaken as being Roman, but they were mistaken of being Egyptian. Somebody say Egyptian. Well, how does an Egyptian look? And I'm glad you asked. We showed you some of the artifacts and hieroglyphics of the Egyptians. That's King Tut. Amen. I'll show you another one right here. That's some of the hieroglyphics. Don't that look like them sisters? Amen. Getting buying that hat. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm being real. We have another one for you just to holler. Look at that sister going natural. Amen. You see what I'm saying? We showed you the hieroglyphics of the Egyptians. Let's see if we have another one. Go ahead. And the Sphinx, they blew off his nose because they didn't want us to know how his nose and his lips really look. Amen. You see, because people that know history know that when you find out one bit of history is going to lead to some evidence in another one. You find out Egypt is black, then you're going to understand that the true Hebrews were black. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. The Greek writer Herodotus said that the Egyptians had thick lips, broad noses, and woolly hair. And I don't know if you've ever been by sheep lately. Sheep hair, look, if I didn't have that wave grease in my hair, I'll show you what sheep hair looked like. The Hebrews were mistaken being Egyptian, and the Egyptians were black. Again, a lot of people are going to come at you with all kind of opinions. I don't want to hear no opinions. Show me the evidence, friends. Cornelius Tacitus agreed. The Roman historian said this, hallelujah, that many of his time believed that the Jews were of an Ethiopian origin. What does that mean? How does Ethiopians look? You understand what I'm saying? You see, and this is history. Now, this is one president of Egypt, Abdel Nasser. Look what he said about it. Now, this is all fact now. Don't come here with opinion. Look what President of Egypt Nasser says. Let's flip it right now. Amen. President Nasser said, the Jews will never be able to live here in peace, the current Jews, big brother. Why? Because they left here black and they came back white. Now, we see that in history, but nobody ever questions that. We've been so inundated that, hallelujah, how Jesus look and how the Hebrews look. We hear stuff like that, but nobody ever say, what does that mean? Yeah. He said, my people, they perish for a lack of knowledge. But that's not going to be like that anymore. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. B, we talked about the Jews usually fleeing to America. Fleeing to Africa. We're going to get to America in a second. Fleeing to Africa. When you look at your Bible, Abraham, the kings, Joseph and Mary, they usually always fled to Africa. During the fall of Jerusalem, 70 AD, the Jews fled again. And they fled where they always would flee, and that's in Africa. And I have a map for you that will show you that. Amen. This fleeing into Africa. Josephus, one of the historians that, hallelujah, a lot of seminarians quote like the Bible. Hallelujah. Let me quote Josephus from. Josephus writes, General Vespasian and his son Caesar Titus fought against the Jews. Millions of Jews fled where? Fled into and among other places. And that's for our Latino brothers and sisters. Amen. Fleeing from Roman persecution, starvation during the siege. We have a bunch of other authors. Amen. Ella Hewley, Rudolph Windsor. Amen. Another bit of evidence. Now, you gotta understand, all of this stuff is evidence. All right? All this stuff is evidence to not only who the biblical Hebrews are, but who you are. Amen. And you're going to fight me on this because you've been programmed. You're going to fight me because I'm coming against your program. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to fight me on this. You won't even want to believe this. Amen. But we're going to tell the truth today. We're going to tell the truth today. Amen. We know that the Hebrews were in Africa because they're still in Africa today. And they still black today. We showed you, amen, the Limba tribe, amen. The Limba tribe, this is one of the Limba chiefments. In current day, amen. And they were tested, DNA tested, amen. And the DNA test came back what? Hebrew. They were in Africa. They're still in Africa today. You see? We showed you and talked about the Ibu tribe, which is another tribe. It's actually the tribe, amen. I know he might not want me to reveal this, but it's the tribe that T.D. Jakes came back. His DNA came back Ibu. You see what I'm saying? The Ibu tribe, amen, is still in Africa today, amen, and it's Hebrew, amen. A lot of African Americans will come back Ibu. You see what I'm saying? They knew who we were because on the map, amen, they had a place called Negro Land, amen. And Negro Land was where the 12 tribes dispersed. You got to understand when, hallelujah, back in the day when we would fill out white or Negro, amen, that was because we came from Negro Land. You understand what I'm saying? And Negro, hallelujah, Zondervan Dictionary tells us that, hallelujah, the Negro is not African. You thought you was African. But the Bible says that Ham is the father, the progenitor of all of the people, the colored races, the black races. But he is not the father of the Negro. You're not a Hamite. You're not an African. You're a Hebrew. You with me so far? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. The Africans were not called Negroes. You was called a Negro. You understand what I'm saying? And a Negro, amen, is another derivation of the Hebrew or the black Israelite. Look at what's going on here. I got a map of the kingdom of Judah in Africa. That was in southern Africa. That's evidence that Judah was there. And there's other cities, other things that we saw. Amen. Judah was in Africa. And the way we got here is because there was a falling out between the Hamites, amen, and the Semitic people, us. We had clothes. They didn't have clothes. We had education. They didn't have education. We knew how to read. They didn't know how to read. We were Hebrew, and they were either in idolatry or transforming, conforming, converting to Islam. You see what I'm saying? And when that happened, they began to sell us off. And they made our kingdom, Kingdom of Judah, which was on the Horn of Africa, on the West Coast. They made that. They named it again. They named it the Slave Coast because that's where slaves come from. You see, they'll tell you that slaves came from all over Africa. The devil is a liar. Slaves didn't come all over from Africa. They had different coasts that they would stop in to get different things. If they wanted ivory, they stopped into the ivory coast. If they wanted wheat or grain, they stopped into the grain coast. If they wanted slaves, they went to the... You hear what I'm saying? They didn't come from all over Africa. And me and my wife had our DNA done. Amen. And guess what part of Africa we came from? We came from the slave coast. We came from Negro Land. Just like you came from. 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 You see what I'm saying? Now, we was mixed with all kind of other things. You don't get a brother with green eyes being all the way a brother. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but that's all right. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? I know where I come from now. You understand? I know my history now. I know where I come from now. You see what I'm saying? Negro Land. They knew who we were. I'm going to give you a pick of when they sold us. Amen. They say, find Hebrews. Somebody say Hebrew. What'd that sound like? Find Hebrews for sale. Fine. Stand up, John. Let me show them. Fine. I'm joking, John. I'm joking. Find Hebrews for sale. You see, we talked about the slave trade. We talked about the kingdom of Dahomey, how they had guns and they were able to subdue us because the Europeans gave them them fire sticks, them guns, amen. And I told you, a lot of brothers going Democratic, running around here talking about Hillary more than they talking about Jesus, amen. And one of the platforms is to get rid of all the guns and make sure you don't have no guns. And let me tell you what happens when you don't have no gun. When you don't have no gun, they can do whatever they want with you. They can sell you right back into slavery. That's what happens when you don't have no gun. Don't be deceived. There ain't none of them for us. No Democrat, neither Republican. You know who for us? God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You with me so far? I want to put a little plug out there. If you've been bought and brainwashed by this, you need to sit on the side and make an appointment with Brother Heavy, amen, and go to Heavy Weapons, and you need to get you something. What the Bible said, hallelujah, Jesus said, hallelujah, sell, buy you a sword. The day going to come, you have to buy you a sword, Jesus said. You see, don't be no fool, man. And get off that TV, man. Get off that media, man. They brainwashing you. You see? All right. President Abdel Nasser. They left black and they came back white. I'm taking a little time because we need to really understand this. You know? Then we talked about so what? What does it mean? Because a lot of people going to come and say, okay, blacks are the Jews, the Hebrews, now so what? Aren't we all New Testament Christians? You see? Now, when it was white Jews, none of them ever say so what? None of them ever say so what? They sent them 100, how much? They sent them 100, the churches in America sent them $100 billion a year to the white Jews, the pretenders, the imposters. Now, when we show the evidence, they say, so what? No. So what? Send us the $100 billion. You understand what I'm saying? We're going to kill food stamp. We're going to kill welfare. We're going to build our own school. Send us the $100 billion. So what? Send it to us. We ain't going to be scraping change to put up sheetrock and electrical up in the next door. So what? It's only so what when it's you. Color don't mean nothing. When it's you. Now, with this brings implications for us. We now know a people who had no history has probably one of the greatest documented histories ever. You understand what I'm saying? Because this Bible is our history. You see what I'm saying? We not only have a history, but church, we have a mission. Because the gospel was separated into two. People don't know that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew, to the Hebrew first, and then to the Greeks. So what? You don't understand eschatology. Whenever the gospel was to be preached, it was always supposed to be preached to the Jew first. What if you didn't know who the Jews were? When Paul entered the city, he always walked into that city, and guess what he did? He went straight to the synagogue. And it was only after the Hebrews rejected, then he took off the dust off his feet, he said, I'm going to the Gentile. We're doing the gospel backwards today. And that's why it matters. You're doing it backwards. You won't witness to the Gentiles, the imposters first, before you witness to the true Jews. Why is it important to witness to the true Jews? It's important because the true Hebrews are going to usher in the return of the Messiah. When you look at God's people and where they are the actual fig tree. They're the actual timeline to showing you how close, how imminent the return of the Lord is. We've been looking at the wrong tree. We've been looking at the wrong watch to determine what time it is. Oh, but the time is high time. It's high noon and a shaking is coming. I feel a shaking in the spirit. Our Lord is about to return. Listen, we got to go. We're going to talk about some other things here in a second. Now, this means, saints, now, you don't go back and start like them black Hebrews, dressing in them long garments and fulfilling the law. Remember, we are New Testament. And I'm going to go over that here today in a second. I don't want to catch y'all in them outfits. I don't want to catch y'all, amen, doing all that law stuff, because we not under the law, we under grace. Amen. There's some in here, you watch them boys on YouTube. I would tell you, don't watch them too much. Don't watch the black Hebrews too much on YouTube. Because they're going to make you feel funny. You're going to come in here trying to speak Hebrew. You understand what I'm saying? Big brother been bright. Big brother been hard. You want to change your name now. That's physical stuff. The kingdom of heaven is not like that. The kingdom of heaven, I'm going to show you, is on the inside. I already told you that the name of Jesus and the person of Jesus is what God is really after. He's after the Onama. You know in the Onama of God. Whether you call him Jehovah, whether you call him Yahweh, whether you call him Jesus, whether you call him Yahshua, whether you call him Jesus is not the real issue. What you call him, the question is, do you know him and you have him in your heart? That's the question. Because a lot of these brothers, they know the real name, but they don't know him. So they be cursing on that. They be treating people with disrespect and hate and not love. Listen to me now. You don't want to go back in time. You want to go forward. You're a New Testament Christian. You're a believer. You have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to the law. The law equals death. But the Spirit brings life. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We said to our Latino brothers and sisters as well, amen, there are implications that they are also, amen, because a lot of their lineage come from Africa as well, amen, and there's some different books, The Lost Tribes of the Promised Land, that actually traces, amen, Latin America, which would be South America and Central America, amen, even some historical quotations, amen, about them being some of the tribes of Israel as well. But saints, listen, let's get to it for today. Amen. Let's get to it for today. And I want to talk about 2 points today. Somebody say 2 points. I'm going to talk about the topic. The topic is going to be children of the covenant. And the 2 points this morning is this, would be this. I'm going to talk about the old covenant. I'm going to talk about the new covenant. Somebody say the old covenant. And the new covenant. That's what we're going to talk about. Let's begin with our first point, the old covenant. The old covenant. In our text, in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, Peter's preaching to the Hebrews. He says, you are the children of the prophets. But he doesn't only say they're children of the prophets, Ms. Ronica. He said, but you are also children of the covenant, which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Listen, Peter is telling them, you're not only the children of prophets, you're the children of the covenant. I'm going to have a little slide here with a definition here. A covenant is a serious agreement between persons, groups, or nations. And when we say an agreement, we mean we want to put emphasis on a serious agreement. A covenant is stronger than a contract. Amen. A covenant was usually so strong, sometimes, hallelujah, they cut you. A covenant, which the Hebrew covenant really means cut, because they would cut their hands or cut something or slay an animal or in the context of the new covenant, slay the Son of God. There was always bloodshed to show the intensity, the seriousness of covenant. Somebody say covenant. Well, God, my friends, makes covenants. He doesn't make contracts. He makes covenants. Contracts are business. Covenants are spiritual. Covenants are spiritual, baby. And contracts, as they say in business, are made to be broken. But covenants are made to be kept, my friend. You see what I'm saying? Your marriage relationship is a covenant. You see what I'm saying? Well, God made certain covenant saints with his people. And he made covenants with our fathers. He made covenants with the Hebrews. I'm going to show you some slides of the different covenants. Amen. I'm not going to go through all of them as like the Adamic and the Noahic. But we'll just cover a few of them. Amen. The different covenants that I want to cover. First, there's the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was made between God and Abraham. And this covenant was promising Abraham two things, a people and a land. And that's why that land was called the what? The promised land. Because God covenanted himself to Abraham, saying, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of nations. Your seed is going to be like the stars in the sky, like the sand on the seashore. But I'm also going to give you a land. That's the Abrahamic covenant. Then there was the Mosaic covenant. And this is the covenant that God made between his people and him. And Moses, amen, was the mediator, hallelujah, the go-between in that covenant, rather, amen. And this covenant, this Mosaic covenant, was a conditional covenant. Somebody say conditional. Conditional means if you do this, then I'm going to do that. That's the Mosaic covenant. In the Mosaic covenant, God told his people, his Hebrews, he said, if you do this, which would be the Ten Commandments, and the other 600 laws, 600 or so laws of the Levitic, of the book of Leviticus, Deuteronomy, of the Torah, the Pentateuch, all of those laws, and they were both positive laws, things you should do, and negative laws, things you can't do. The Mosaic covenant was about laws. Abrahamic covenant, a people of land. Mosaic covenant, conditional promises based upon the fulfillment, hallelujah, and the obedience to the law. And then there was the Davidic covenant. Davidic covenant, amen, hallelujah, came afterwards. After you get a people, after you have a land, after you have a law, now you need a king, baby. And the Davidic covenant promised not only a king, but the King of Kings. A king that would rule, and his rule would have no end. His kingdom would be everlasting. And that's our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Peter says, you are the children of the covenant. I'm going to tell you something deep right here. All of these different covenants can be smashed into really one covenant. One covenant. One covenant, which is the old covenant. All could just be smashed in into one covenant. You see? The problem with this one covenant, focusing on the Mosaic portion of it, once again, that this Mosaic covenant and the old covenant, it was conditional. If you obeyed, you was blessed. If you disobeyed, you was cursed. And saints of God, we made a deal with God. In the wilderness, Hebrews, listen good. We shook hands with God. God said, I'm going to bless you, but this is what you're going to have to do for me. And we stuck out our hands and we said, God, it's good. We made a covenant. But we didn't keep it. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 15. Brent, I'm going to move fast because I just want to read it. See, I have set before thee this day, God says, life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. That's the blessings. Verse 17 tells us what's going to happen if we don't do our part. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods. Somebody say other gods. And serve them. Verse 18 says, what God's going to do if we disobey. He says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. Look what God says, how serious it is. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Because a lot of the times when you make a covenant, even when you make a contract, there's a place at the bottom of that legal documentation. There's a place for witnesses. And God says, listen, I'm making this covenant with my Hebrew people. And heaven and earth going to sign as witnesses. I'm going to notarize it. But heaven and earth going to be witness against you. Hebrew people, you made a deal with me. He said, I call heaven and I call earth to record this day against you that I have set before you, your choice, life and death. I've set before you your choice, blessing and cursing. And God says this, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed, and who I'm talking to today would be the seed, that thou and thy seed may live. Well, needless to say, brothers and sisters, our Hebrew forefathers, and even us in our day, did not choose life. We did not choose obedience. And we did not choose blessing. In fact, as soon as the law was given, they disobeyed our God right out of the gate. The first commandment, the ink wasn't even dry, and you know it wasn't ink. I'm just being facetious. The stone wasn't even cold yet, and they had already made a golden calf when the Lord said, thou shalt have no other God beside me, and thou shalt not make unto thyself a graven image. Not anything on the earth, not anything above the earth, not anything in the sea. It was the law, and it was part of the covenant agreement. While God was talking to Moses, they already made a golden calf. Broke the law out the gate. They broke the law from the golden calf all the way to the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. Broke the law. Broke the law. Thou shalt not kill. They not only broke the law from the calf to the Christ, but they broke the law all in between. Broke the law all in between. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about our people. They broke the law by worshiping Baal and Ashtaroth. They broke the law by sacrificing their children in the fires of Molech. They broke the law by sexual immorality, adultery, homosexuality, and sodomy, acting like the nations that were around them and not the nation that they were. Woo! I feel a shaking in the spirit. You see? Yeah, my friends. Killing the prophets, Isaiah. Killing the apostles, Peter. Living like the nations around them, my friends, we broke the covenant from the calf to the Christ. Well, if God said if you do it, you're going to be blessed. If you don't do it, you're going to be cursed. Well, what happens next when the Hebrew people break the law? What happens next? Anybody know? Curse. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. You see, all this while you thought you was cursed because your skin was dull. That's not the reason of the curse. Woo! That's not the reason of the curse. That's what people say. Aren't we the children of Ham? And Ham was cursed and given a color. That's not in the Bible. Ham wasn't cursed. Canaan was cursed. And even if we was from Ham, amen, hallelujah, Ham, hallelujah, the descendants of Ham that went to Africa would be Foot, Cush, and Mezarim, which would be Ethiopia, Libya, and Egypt. That's the Africans. And the Africans weren't cursed. Canaan was cursed. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Second thing is, dark skin was never a curse in the Bible. Dark skin was a blessing in the Bible. Read the Song of Solomon, I am dark and lovely. It was never a curse. It was never, you hear me, Kendrick? That was never a curse. Living in Africa, in the Middle East, and that sun get hot like that? No, it was never a curse because your skin was dark. But when Miriam came against Moses, and when God cursed her, when he cursed her, he didn't turn her dark. And I don't mean that to be offensive. I'm just saying, don't come here and lie to me and make me feel like I'm cursed because of the color of my skin. The curse is not because of our color. The curse is for our covenant and how we broke it and how we broke it. Now listen to me good. God said that these curses going to come unto thee and overtake thee. It's a picture of chasing you. You disobeyed me and you think that running from a geographical location or stop the curse. But the curse is going to chase you wherever you go. You can cross the ocean. You can jump on the moon. You can go down in the sea. The curse is going to still be there. Running is not the answer to the curse. Obedience is the answer to. Woo! Come on, somebody. It is important, amen, to know that this curse was not only intended to be chastisement. It was not only intended to be a punishment, but it was also intended to be a sign, meaning that you would know who the true Hebrews were, because when they did not obey God, certain things would happen to them and solely to them. Other nations could disobey and they will not be under the same punishment and chastening as the Hebrews would be, because God would deal with his people totally different. I've told you before, you can have a sleepover and you ain't gonna whip them other kids. And all them kids messed up your living room. All them kids had flour all over the kitchen. All them kids brought the hose on the inside and made a flood in the living room. All them kids did that. But the child that's going to get it the worst is the one that know you the best. Your child. I understand why Johnny acting the way he act. I know where little Johnny from. But you have no excuse, because you know better than that. Woo! It would be a sign. You want to know who Israel really is? You want to know who the Hebrews really are? Look for the sign. Deuteronomy 28 and 46, these curses, they shall be upon thee for a sign. It's supposed to get your attention. It's supposed to point to something. They're going to be a sign and a wonder. It's going to be a wonder because these curses are going to come upon you and they're going to be supernatural. It's going to be so bad. It's going to be so horrible. Amen. You're going to know that God's hand is behind it. It just won't be regular hard times. It just won't be regular bad times. It just won't be regular cloudy days. But there's going to be a supernatural chastening, punishing aspect behind it. It's going to be a sign and it's going to be a wonder. Because when other nations see it, they're going to wonder, man, what they did. What did they do? It's a sign. It would be a sign to us as the Hebrews. And usually the Hebrew people, when they knew who they were, when things would go bad in the book of Judges, they knew immediately that it was Deuteronomy. And what would follow would be national repentance. And after national repentance, if my people, who are called by my name, after national repentance would be forgiven of the sins and the healing of the land. But what if you take away the knowledge of who the people are? And you take away the fact that the curses are upon us because of disobedience. The devil is slick. We're not dealing with a man here. He saw us always going back in repentance, and our God who says, all day long I stretch forth my hands to a gainsaying people, a rebellious people. He know that his mercies are new every morning. The devil know. He knows, amen, hallelujah, that God is gracious, and where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound, that he would always take us back. He said he married to the backslider. So the devil say, I'm going to have to get them to stop repenting. Because he's going to always take them back. He's going to always take them back. He said, can a mother forget her nursing child? He's going to always take them back. You see? But if I can get them not to repent, to forget the sign. There's a sign over our nation. But we can't read the sign. Let me peel back the veil for you. Let me open some eyes in here. So-called African American, black, Negro, your problem today is not with education. Your problem today is not with finances, incomes, or jobs. Your problem today is not because you can or cannot read. Your problem today is not because of housing. Your problem today is not really even the color of your skin. Your problem today is not the Caucasian race or any other race that's on this planet. You don't have that problem. You don't have that problem. The problem you have, Negro, the problem you have, Hebrew, is a God problem. You have a covenant problem. And until you fix the covenant problem until you resolve and settle your issue with God, nothing is going to change in your situation. Nothing is going to change in your situation. Nothing is going to change in your situation. And so they can put any program together they want. They can give you a new deal. They can give you a food stamp. They can give you free housing. They can even give you a black president. But a black president is not going to help you. A black president is not going to change our situation. Free food ain't going to change our situation. Public school ain't going to change our situation. Hillary ain't going to change our situation. And Donald Trump showing they ain't going to. There's only one that can change our situation. And that's Almighty God. That's Almighty God. And so long they've looked at us and said, we've tried everything. What more can we give? They've been frustrated with us. Giving us affirmative action and the heads up and the foot up and everything else and free. Listen, listen, listen. You got it all wrong. You're only messing us up more. We got a covenant problem. And I'm here to help you read the sign. Let's look at the curses. Let's look at the curses in chronological order. Not in the order of the Bible, but in the order of time. So that I can show you. And so that you can see us. That's why all them naysayers that's talking, amen, you ain't really looked at the evidence yet. Let me show you us. And I'm going to show you that no other people on the planet fits these curses but the so-called African-American people and maybe the Latin people as well. Deuteronomy 28:52. The curse is for disobeying. Your enemy, he shall besiege thee in thy gates until thy high fence walls come down wherein thou trustest. Throughout all thy land he shall besiege thee, and in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God had given thee. God is telling that the response for disobedience would be when you dwell in walled cities. I have a picture, amen, of the fall of Jerusalem. When you dwell in walled cities, could be stone, could be iron. I don't care what kind of wall you hide behind. For disobeying me, I'm going to make your enemy besiege you, cut you off, and tear your walls down. You can hide from everybody else, but you can't hide from me. I'm going to go get you. I'm going to go get you, God said. And that's what he did to our people. The fall of Jerusalem, 70 AD, when we fled into Africa, persecution. God told them in Jeremiah and Isaiah, listen, you can go where you want. The sword is going to follow you. It's going to follow you. It's going to follow you. You see? Deuteronomy 28:25, after the sword, he tells them, that another part of the curse, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. You're going to lose your battle. And we saw this in Africa with the Dohamis, how they were given firearms against our spears and arrows. We can't win like that. You'll be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways. And if you read Western African history and you read about how when our people went to fight against the enemies and the enemies had guns, when we heard that shot and saw the fire come out them sticks, what you think them armies did? Them boys scared them, man. I say, what in the world is that? That's magic. You see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, just hold that right there. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And look what it says, and this is what this map is about. Just stay on that map. and you shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. After I take your land, destroy you, break your walls down, I'm going to remove you to all the nations of the earth. And that's the Atlantic slave trade. That's us. That's us. You see? 28:49, look what it says. The curse. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flying. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. I got a pick that swift as an eagle. Does that make you think of something? I'm going to bring a nation from far. Far, far. You don't even know these people. And you don't know their language. It's a place you ain't never been before. 28:68, look what it says. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again. But look what it says here, with ships. Now you got to understand. You got to understand the geography. You got to understand the topography of where we are. You don't need a ship to go to Egypt. Unless you're talking about another Egypt. Woo! Unless you're talking about another Egypt. They didn't get no ship to go from Egypt to the promised land. Why would you need a ship to go from the promised land in Egypt? You don't need a ship to go there. But there's going to be another Egypt I'm going to send you to. I'm going to send you to another Egypt. Amen. I'm going to send you to another Egypt. I got to pick. Now, you saw the eagle. I'm going to show you something. Come on now, Brent. You see that right there? You see that back of that dollar? You see that pyramid? You think them people don't know that they're the second Egypt? That scripture in Deuteronomy is on the back of our dollar, and you would never know it. The best way to hide from something from somebody is put it in plain sight. You got so used to looking at that thing, you stop trying to figure out what it means. A nation as swift as an eagle. I'm going to bring you to Egypt again. You remember what we did in Egypt? What we did in Egypt? You remember what they did to our men in Egypt? Deuteronomy 26:68. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, slave ships. By the way, wherever I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies slavery. Sold for bondman and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you. What does that mean, Pastor? If I'm going to be sold, how they not going to buy me? No, understand. No man going to redeem you. Nobody going to get you out of slavery. None of your friends, none of your uncles, none of your mamas, none of your dads, none of them going to be able to buy you to get you out of slavery. Because they all going to be slaves themselves. You're going to be sold. Who does that sound like? Listen, they had other nations in slavery, yeah. But ain't no other nation was packed in ships. And shipped to another place. Deuteronomy 28:48. I'm talking about the curses. The curse is a sign. When you see the sign over a people, you will know who are the true Hebrews. Deuteronomy 28:48. Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. You're going to serve them in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Let me give you a picture from slavery. You saw that before? Now listen. This is not to get you mad, no. Don't be mad at nobody. You know who you be mad at? Be mad at us. It was the agreement. God said, listen, this is the contract. You signed the contract. We shook on the contract. We said we'd all be, put the iron on our neck. And that's just some of the other. You saw the shackles on the neck before with the chains coming down from it. Who fit this description? God, what curse? God, who people has this? Which people has this curse as a sign over them? Deuteronomy 28:32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. Thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thy hand. Let me show you a picture of that. A lot of the times when they sold the mama, they sold the kids to another family. Now on Mother's Day, I want you to imagine, mama. I want you to imagine. They selling your 2-year-old, your 3-year-old, or something like that, and they selling them to somebody else. And you sitting there watching, you can't do nothing about that. You see? Don't get mad. Don't get mad, get right. Don't get mad, get right. Don't get mad, get right. You see? Like the PCA choir sung. Listen, if it had not been for the pressing, if it had not been for the beating, if it had not been for, you understand? He's preparing me. Preparing me. Preparing me. For greater. You see what I'm saying? Just hold on, hold on. Hold on. Look what he says in Deuteronomy 28:41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. I'll just have another pick of that. Amen. 28:30. Talking about the curses. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof for yourself. Look at this pick. You're going to betroth a wife, and another man going to lie with her. You know the horrors of slavery. Now listen to me. Don't be mad. Get right. God's going to deal with all the issues of slavery, and he has. The Civil War and all the things that went on. Listen, every drop of blood that was shed for us, amen, blood was shed as well. Amen? So just remember that. But your issue is not with the people. Your issue is with God. Because you get even with the people. But if you don't get right with God, you're going to just end up in the same situation you was in. The answer is not hate. The answer is not prejudice. The answer is not revenge. The answer is national repentance for the Hebrew people. That's what the answer is. That's what the answer is. He says you'll build a house and somebody else going to dwell in it. Anybody hear me up in here? They say we built that White House. And many other houses. Building big old houses and can't live in it. Planting stuff. And gathering it for somebody else. Deuteronomy 28:33. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. As long as you don't get right with me, you're going to always be oppressed. It's the curse. And can't nobody deliver us from it? Can't nobody deliver us from it? It's going to have to be God. Deuteronomy 28:6. We're not done yet, yo. And thy carcass shall be meat unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. You remember the lynch mobs? And I was about to show more pictures than that, but God said, don't do it. Because they had pictures with trees full of it, like ornaments. You know what the New Testament say and the Old Testament? Cursed be he that hangeth on a tree. You don't understand that these curses are a sign? Not only a sign that we've disobeyed, but listen, even in all this misery and pain, it's a good sign. Because it's a sign to tell you who you are. It's a sign to wake you up. It's a sign to tell you, if you'll just come back to me. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord can deliver them out of them all. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? Every time we turn to the Lord in just a quasi way, breakthrough came. Even when we was on the plantation singing Kumbaya, my Lord. And we had a deep spirituality. And we had loved the Lord. I went back and I bought books from even slaves that became preeminent preachers during slavery. Couldn't even pronounce the right words, but there was such a gadul, an anointing upon them. That not only would they gather slaves, amen, from the different plantations, but even the Europeans would come, hallelujah, and listen to the word of God brought by a man who really couldn't read too good. You go look up that slave preacher by the name of Jasper. You see? So as we began to get close to God, there was a shaking. He raised up Abraham Lincoln. Because don't you dare get prejudice on me. We got white folk, amen, that did us good. You was instruments in the hand of God. Abe Lincoln, JFK, huh, Mel? That's our brothers and sisters. They got wicked in every race. Don't you start judging somebody because of the color of their skin. Won't you let them divide us? So he raised up Abe Lincoln. You see? We were set free. But we still had to go through oppression. Deuteronomy 28, 29. Thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind grope at darkness. He says there's going to be a blindness on you. And I think that this is a mental blindness, a spiritual darkness that's on us. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be oppressed only and spoiled everywhere forevermore. And no man shall save thee. I got some pictures of that as well. Amen. Oppression, even after slavery was over. No. Look at it. If God said it was supposed to be a sign, signs ought to look at. Look at it. See what your people went through for disobedience. When you see it, it's going to make you stop disobeying. It's going to get you off of the pornography. It's going to get you off of adultery. It's going to get you off of running to women. It's going to get you to stop selling drugs to your own people. It's going to get you off the drug. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Look at it. Look at, is the reason we in the mess we in. And the very ones you worship, dancing and shaking their bottom on stage. Pushing violence and killing in gangs and shooting and killing each other in drugs and immorality and dressed with just the most harlotry attire there is. Those ones that you go buy the tickets for and you buy the CDs are the reason that we in the very mess we in. Don't make me start naming some names. You don't know. Do you know what Balaam and Balak came up with? We can't defeat them. We can't curse what God has blessed. But if we get them to disobey, if we get them to be in the club shaking their bottom, if we get them to be adulterers and act like the nations that they are not, we won't have to curse them. God will curse them. So there you go. Supporting that stuff. Buying that stuff. You can't get enough of Beyonce. You can't get enough of Boosie. You can't get enough of Jay-Z. You can't get enough of them boys. You can't get enough of them. You don't understand that that's part of the Balaam and Balak plan. They don't put the best of us on stage. They don't put the best of us up on front. They put the worst of us as leaders. And when you put the worst of them as leaders, the rest going to follow into sin, in which is going to turn kicking the curses. My people perish for lack of knowledge. 28:16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. We know slavery, we was cursed in the field. But did you know that even when we got out of the field, we were still cursed in the city? Come on, come on, I got a pick of that. I got a pick of that. That's projects in Chicago. You understand what I'm saying? You see, because you can't run from the curse. The curse is not about changing your location. We got people in here right now, I'm just going to move to Houston. Where you going? That's not the answer. You could be in Houston. You could be in Detroit. You could be in Lafayette. It's that your location don't change. You could be in whatever big city you want. You could be in New York. You could be in L.A. The answer is not moving. The answer is moving from under the curse. That's the answer. You're moving the spirit. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Deuteronomy 28:37. We talking about the curses. Who y'all think we talking about? Deuteronomy 28:37. Look at this one. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among the nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. A byword is a word that people call you that bring up negative thoughts. There are certain words that's universal, meaning that wherever you go, that word, when you say it, means exactly what it means. There's certain words you can say in America that you can say in China and everybody know you're talking about. Certain words you can say, amen, in Canada and say in Israel. Huh, Miss Tish? Where Miss Tish at? You can say it in Israel and everybody going to know what you're talking about. One of those words is the word hallelujah. Let's bring it positive first. Hallelujah is hallelujah in Korea. Hallelujah is hallelujah in Crowley. You with me so far? From Crowley to Korea. Listen, hallelujah is hallelujah. But there is another word that is universal. I want to say it, but I'm not going to say it because but you know the word. It starts with an N, it ends with an R. And it's got two G's on the inside of it. All right? A part of the curse is that when people see you, they're going to put a word on you. They're going to put a word on you. And I done been in some situations, man, where I done fed people from different races. They couldn't even eat. I bring them to the apartment. We cooking. I'm in law school, Miss Chantel. And I'm feeding people. They got it hard. They're different races than me, but that's just the heart, you know? Well, one day they got mad at me. And I'm talking about, I give them food. I drop them places where they got a golden at. You know what I'm saying? And everything was cool, man. I'm like, you know, while we together, I done forgot I was black. You understand what I'm saying? You know when it get that cool? Man, they got mad at me one day. They reminded me quick fast. They say, I say, whoa. But it's not their fault. It's part of the curse. You would be a byword. A byword, where? Among all the nations, whither the Lord shall lead them. Deuteronomy 28:21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, B, this is where your calling come in. Because the Lord, part of the curse would be disease. Us not obeying him would bring forth punishment in our bodies, our health. I'm talking about the United States, the African American, so-called, is 13% of the population, but we 50% of all AIDS cases. The Negroes are 9 times more likely to get AIDS than our white counterparts. That's a curse, man. That's supposed to get your attention. Heart disease. Those, hallelujah, over 20, 46% of us struggling with some heart disease, cholesterol and all this other stuff. High blood pressure. stroke, heart attack, high rate of obesity. The CDC says that the current generation will be the first not to live longer than their parents. You see how we in a section where the baby boomers kind of living long? They say the next generation going to live shorter. Somebody say the curse. Y'all get it yet? Give me three more scriptures. Three more scriptures and then I'm done. They got three more people don't get it yet. Let me three more scriptures. Three more scriptures. Deuteronomy 28:43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. The stranger, other foreigners going to move in where you live at, ain't going to be above you. They go on the stores, they go on the businesses, and you ain't going on nothing. And when your brother try to open something, because you don't know we one people, you won't go to him, you're going to go to the foreigner. But that's just until we know who we are. We got plans for that. We got plans for that. When this information come out, listen to me. We're going to operate like the Hebrews. We're going to operate like the Hebrews. We're going to operate like the Hebrews. We're going to be one. We're going to be one. Not to be racial. No. But to do that which they have been praying for. They've been asking what's wrong with us. Why we can't get up. All right, let us get up. Come on, let's get up. You understand what I'm saying? Let's gather. Let's get up. This is good for America here. You mess around, let us get up. Ain't going to be no need for food stamp and welfare and all that stuff like that. You mess around, let us get up. We ain't going to want to live in no projects or no. No. Because the curse say, when you don't obey, you're not going to be the head. Yeah. You're going to be the tail. You're not going to be above. You're going to be beneath. I think I got another pick. Amen. Always starting at the lowest level. Always at the lowest level. The lowest pay. Deuteronomy 28:44. Look what he says. He shall lend to thee. And thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Look what else is in our neighborhood. Some of y'all owe them people right now. That's a part of the curse. And when you understand the sign, when you understand the curse, and you understand who you are, you won't walk in those ways no more. You listen, this is for your good. I'm not trying to ridicule you, no. I'm not even trying to talk about you. Listen, we was doing what we always did. When I grew up, that's what mom and dad did. That's what the ones before them did. And guess what happened when I needed some money? I went there too. But then the way them people treated me, I felt some kind of way. I said, wait up now. You see, because the borrower is slave. I said, oh, no. We up in house counting change to pay them people off. 55, 60, 65. Pay them people, man. Pay them people. Give what you got to give. Sell what you got to sell. Pay them people, man. Get out from under that slavery. And don't go back there no more. Deuteronomy 28:45-46. That's not for you, Christian. That's not for you, Hebrew. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Why? Why? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder and upon thy seed. Forever. As long as you don't get right. As long as you don't come back to him. As long as you don't come and get right. You see, our problem, saints, is not with man. It's not with politics. Not with social services. Not with education. Not with income. Not with health care. Not with housing. Not with jobs. Our problem is a covenant problem. we have a problem with our God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. If you give me a few more minutes, we're going to take care of this second point right quick. It's very important. It's very important. Let's talk about the new covenant. Somebody say the new covenant. Peter says in Acts 3:25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant. You see? Yes, what I just went over in Deuteronomy, the Mosaic covenant was the original covenant God made with our fathers. And it's a covenant that we have broken, a covenant that we have not been able to keep. And because of that, we have the curses upon us that we did have or do have for some in this room. But I have some good news for you. 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 There is not only an old covenant, but there is also what we would call a new covenant. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And the good thing is, just like any good cell phone company, if you don't like the current plan that you are on, you can switch plans. Amen. So, if you don't like the old covenant and the laws and the if you do it, you're blessed, and if you don't, you curse. Amen. If you don't like that covenant, God has given us the option of getting on a new covenant, a different covenant, a better covenant. But you're going to have to choose which covenant you're going to be on. Those who remain on the old covenant shall remain cursed. And those who come upon the new covenant, amen, will get a different result altogether. Let's talk about the new covenant for a second or two. A minute or two. Turn with me or look with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, would you go to the book of Hebrews? For this book is written for us. For us and by us. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 7. It says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. This is telling us that the first covenant had a problem with it. And the problem with the first covenant is that no one could keep it. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were given 610 laws, but we couldn't even keep 10. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Somebody say a new covenant. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. The new covenant is actually with us. Now, because we rejected the Messiah, the whole world can get in on the new covenant, but the new covenant was originally for us. Oh, you got to hear me up in here. He said, I'm going to make a new covenant with Israel and with Judah. You know? And because we rejected it, they can come in and believe in Christ and by faith be engrafted into the covenants and the promises. But the original covenant was ours. You see? Verse 9 tells us this. Not according to the covenant that I'm going to make you a new covenant, but look at the new covenant. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. It's not going to be like the covenant I made with you when you came out of Egypt. It's not going to be like that one. It's not going to be like that one because you couldn't keep that one. And that one was a conditional covenant whereby you do and you get blessed, you don't, and you curse. God says, I'm not going to do that to you again because you're not doing well with that type of covenant. He says, not according to the covenant I made with your fathers in Egypt because they continue not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Galatians 3:10 tells us this. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curse is everyone that continueth not in all the things that are written in the book of the law. I just want to interject this because a lot of y'all listening to the black Hebrews, and you want to go back and you want to put them garments on and you want to go back to the law. Galatians tells us that as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Going back to the law is not the answer. You cannot fulfill the law. You cannot fulfill the law. You're going to be under a curse if you go back to the law. Don't go backwards. Go forwards. You see what I'm saying? Well, Pastor, what was the law for if it wasn't good and we couldn't obey it? Galatians 3:24 tells us, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, our tutor, our guardian. The law was our babysitter. But the law wasn't really an end thing, a final thing. A law was our schoolmaster. But what was the real reason? To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, let me break that down. When we would look at the 610 or more laws and try to fulfill them and try to live them out, we would look at God and say, God, I can't. God, is there any other way for me to be saved? Because I can't go from a baby all the way to 80 years old, never telling a lie, never stealing. Listen, I broke most of that before I was 10. But the law was our schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster. Come see Grace. The law was our schoolmaster, our guardian, our tutor. Let me hold your hand. Let me hold this other hand. I'm the law. Amen. I'm the law. All right. John, stand up. Thank you, John. The law was our schoolmaster, the Bible says, to bring us. And John is going to play Christ. All right. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was supposed to lead us. I can't be saved no other way. I can't fulfill this law. God, is there another way? And God says, I got another way. I'm going to send my son, born of a virgin, live the law perfectly, do what you can't do. Hey, and by faith in him, hallelujah, hallelujah, you'll be saved. All right, Grace, thank you. John, you're a blessing, John. And you play a good Jesus as well. You see what I'm saying? The law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. You see, and we get saved, friends. Amen. We get saved by admitting, believing, and confessing. We admit we sins. We believe in God, that he loves us, that he died for our sins, that he rose on the third day, and we confess him. And that's how we save. That's how we are saved. That's how you get out from under the curse. That's what our people need, Brother Doug. They need the truth, and they need the gospel. You got a lot of them on the computer. They're giving the truth, but they're not giving the gospel. And when I told you that I had something new, that I was breaking a seal, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. This information, the facts about the black Jews, that's been out there forever. But when you put that on the side of the gospel, when you put that on the side of Jesus Christ and him crucified, when you not only tell them why they curse, but you show them the way out of the curse, that's a new thing altogether. And that's what the church need to get a hold of. That's what pastors need to begin the church to preach. It's a brand new thing because church is not preaching it. Anybody hear me up in here? They'll tell you to go back to the Passover. Go back to the Sabbath. We New Testament. Let me clarify this. Colossians 2:16. In the New Testament, it tells us, since we saved, let no man therefore judge you in meat. You can eat that bacon, that pork chop, that breakfast sausage if you want. Now, Brian might not let you because of health reasons, but you ain't going to go to hell for eating it, is what I'm saying. That's the law. That's the law. That's the law. We not under law. We under grace. The law, Candace and Nat, was external. It was about what you wore and what you ate and how many times you washed your hands. But it never changed the heart. And Jesus was trying to get them to understand that, listen, is not what goes into a man that defiles a man. For what I eat just go into my stomach, into my intestines, and out into, y'all know what I'm saying. He said go out into the drought. That's how Jesus says. It's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of a man that defiles a man. It's our actions. It's what we do. And a lot of these brothers, they know a part of a truth. And they have the external law. But the work of the Holy Ghost is not done on the inside. Amen. And so they still acting the way they used to act and doing the things they used to do. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, in drink, in respect to a holy day, in respect to a new man, new moon, in respect to Sabbath days. We don't have to celebrate all them holy days and Sabbaths and Pasch. We don't have to do that no more. We under the new covenant. Yes, we Hebrews, but we are Christian Hebrews. Somebody say Christian,
Christian.
Hebrews. That's what we are. We New Testament. We can eat what we want, celebrate what we want. Why? Here it is. Follow me close. All of those things, verse 17 tells us, the eating, the holidays, the Passovers, the feast days, the Sabbaths, all of these were a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let me break that down for you. They did all that in the Old Testament to foreshadow Jesus Christ. He did a Sabbath to tell them that a rest was coming for their souls. He did a Passover to tell them that a lamb was going to come to die for their sins, and his blood was going to make the death angel pass over them. Every feast was about Jesus, whether it was the Feast of the Tabernacles, whether it was the Feast of Lights. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Hey, God, every feast was a foreshadow of Jesus. But when Jesus came, there's no need to look at the shadows no more. Amen. Let me break it down for you a little more. Let's say you're home by yourself. And you hear a noise outside. And you see a shadow on the window. Now you're home at long, alone and you see that shadow. Your eyes is not going to get off of that shadow. Where that shadow go, you going to go. And you may pick up some things with you to accompany you while you follow that shadow. And you up in there looking out the window and saying, who's that? I see a shadow. And you following the shadow, all right? But when you follow the shadow to the door and you look out the window or you open the door and you see that the shadow was Kelly, all right? Do you continue to follow the shadow or look at the shadow or even be concerned with the shadow? You open the door, you say, Kelly, that was you, boy. You scared me half to death. And when he comes in, you don't follow his shadow still. Why? Because the real one is present. Oh, you got to be with me. Woo! The old covenant, the Old Testament law, Patrice, was following a shadow. We was looking for the one that the shadow belonged to. Hey, God. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son, made under the law, made of a woman, hey, God, to redeem us from the law. Hallelujah, in the right time, in the nick of time. And when we open the door and let him in and we see that everything was about Jesus, we don't continue to follow the shadow because the Messiah is here. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Don't you ever go back to the law. Amen. Let's look at verse 10 of Hebrews. Amen. And we're wrapping up. Hallelujah. Verse 10 tells us, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be a God to them, he tells us. And they shall be my people. I love what Ezekiel tells us. And we're almost done. You know I got to provide much scriptural evidence for this. Amen. Ezekiel tells us about this new covenant. And you want to get under it. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, a malleable heart that I can shape and move. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to keep my judgments and to do them. And ye shall dwell in the land. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. Give God some glory. Amen. Listen. This is the new covenant. And when we come next time, we're going to take these curses and we're going to see if these curses actually apply to the people that we think are the real Hebrews. I've shown you how they apply to us. And we're going to look at them and what they're doing and how they're living and look and see if they're obeying or not obeying. And if they're disobeying, we're going to see if the curses have been enacted. And you're going to see clearly, my friends. Amen. Go home, go study. Hallelujah. Log on to the School of Hebrews. Amen. You're going to see, my friend. This thing fits us. Now, saints of God, listen, I just want to make this call. Amen. I just want to make this call. We're not going to do Lord's Supper again this morning. Mel, thank you for your hard work. We're a little bit late. Amen. We're going to do it. It might not even be next time, but we're going to do it. Amen. But I praise God for you, sister, all your hard work. Amen. Hallelujah. But listen to me good. If you are here and you are not saved, and first I want to talk to the Hebrews. When you look at your life, amen, and what Dominique or Miss Tish, y'all can come up at this moment. When you